You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
Okay, we are very grateful to have in studio this afternoon with us two great guys. First off, we have Steve Reed, author of the book Entrepreneurship, Developing True Grit as an Entrepreneur. And with him, we have our very own entrepreneur, Vincent Moseve. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you, John. And welcome to Vince. Want to say hello, Vince?
Hello, the listeners, and thank you, Steve, for having me in the station.
Fantastic. Now, John, 2 weeks ago, I basically read the story that Vince wrote about his own growth as an entrepreneur. And I must say, others commented about it, but the way in which he wrote it was beautiful. And if that's an indication of your creative ability, we're in for a great ride. But Vince, maybe not everyone heard that story. So yeah. I want you to share a little bit about yourself. I know you've just told me, you reminded me that you're all of 25 years old. but tell me tell us about yourself. Where are you from? Tell us about what brought you to this place,
yes,
where you are leading this great new enterprise, and about the product that we can see here on the desk in front of us. Vince.
Certainly. Thanks for the platform. So I'm Vincent Moseve. I am a resident of Vrygrond, born and raised in Vrygrond. It's a small community known for its negative rumors and things like that. It's not actually rumors, it's actual facts. It's a community plagued with gangsterism, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and all sorts of things. And being a child growing up in that community, there's this limiting belief whereby people do not believe you can actually amount to anything other than the gangster or another alcohol abuser. And if you are lucky to get a job, it'll be just a 9-to-5 in the retail section. So that's the type of
so very low ceiling, yes, expectation, yes. There, okay,
true. So what motivated me to start Moseve Enterprise? I'll take it back to my childhood.
Yes.
Being a child, I was always inspired and motivated with seeing other inventors. My favorite inventor being Leonardo da Vinci.
Amazing.
And at that time, I wanted to also become an inventor who would make an impact on the surface of the earth. But again, I had to face the limiting beliefs whereby, no, you're just a black child, you can't be an inventor. What bright ideas can you come up with? All sorts of things. So
you wrote about when you put on a little white
lab coat.
And you wanted to demonstrate, I'm going to be a creator.
Yeah.
And the response of others?
Well, they laughed and mocked me about it and said all sorts of things, which for a while actually made me put those dreams on the shelf and went about life as just another individual, just another person going from paycheck to paycheck without actually having a purpose in life. And yeah, that's.
So I think, first of all, Vincent, well done in not allowing that which was spoken over you or of you to determine your purpose and to deflect you from where you are today. Well done on doing that. And listeners,
thanks.
I think that's quite a lesson in itself. But then, what brought you to the place that you are now?
So in 2020, I also experienced one of the many social ills that are plagued by the community, which are fires. So our community is always plagued by shack fires. Although I do not reside in a shack, but somehow my room ended up catching on
fire. Lost
and
everything.
Yes. And also I sustained some burns on my right hand. And this became now a physical reminder of the devastating effects of what fires can actually do. And during a fire, it's not actually just property that get destroyed. The human spirit burns down to ashes as well. That motivation, that burning desire of wanting to amount to something goes up in smoke. And that is actually...
It's the driving force.
Yes, that's the driving force that motivated me to actually not just be a bystander and complain alongside everyone else, but actually take the initiative to do something about the issue. Because it has been there for quite some time, for many years before I was even born. But people have just been standing by, looking at it and blaming everything on the government, saying, no, the government this, the government that.
Vincent, you know, that's such a point you make, that it's easy, it's relatively easy to complain and join with everyone. It takes a lot more character to say, wait a second, what can we do? What must I do? Well done. So tell us some more of the story. That is 2020.
Yes, so that's 2020. Fast forwarding to 2023, I started volunteering at the SOZA Foundation as a maths, physics, life science, and engineering tutor. So it was through that time whereby I met one of the SOZO's staff member, Donovan Edwards, who introduced me to the Incubation Hub. I was quite skeptical coming from all those negative response that I had.
You were weary. Wow.
Yeah,
what is this?
If I take this step and actually speak about this, what of response will I get this time?
Yeah.
Will it be the same or will it be different? But then I had to now take that gamble and give it a shot and let's see how it goes.
And what happened when you did that, when you presented your idea?
Well, I was actually fascinated to find out that people were actually amazed by the idea when I thought it was just some basic physics, light bulb, batteries and whatever. And I met a lot of supporting people, including yourself, Steve, and Stephen Hughes, who motivated me and encouraged me to actually pursue my dream and actually not only let my dreams remain mere concept, but actually transform them into tangible devices and create a business out of it.
Vince, you speak about changing the idea and transforming it into a real product.
Yeah.
And it's not easy because lots of people get ideas. And for many of them, the idea just kind of stays there. Sure. But you push through, and I hope you're going to share with the listeners a little bit about how you pulled on inner resources and what you did, etc. And thank you for mentioning. It was my privilege to help lay the foundation of the first year incubation at Genesis Incubator. And that's where I first met you.
Sure.
But at that stage, you were talking about devices, etc. So in front of us, Janet and John, is what I believe is called CEPO.
Yes.
And this is version 2 and version 3. Now, listeners, for those of you who can't see, it looks like a device of about 15 centimeters high and about maybe it's 20 centimeters high and 15 centimeters wide and about 10 centimeters in depth. But it looks beautiful. And what is it, Vince? What is this that you've got on the table?
Well, so these are called CEPO, which translates to hope. So basically, these were meant to serve as a safe alternative to the traditional sources of light used in informal settlements.
Okay, which is?
What? Which is candlesticks and paraffin lamps. And those sources of light, yes, are the main causes of the shack fires that has been plaguing the entire nation, not only the Western Cape, but South Africa as a whole.
Fantastic. You saw a very, very real problem that is resident in most townships.
Yes.
And those fires can be so devastating. And you've come up with a solution,
yes,
which is very real for that community. But I think there's some other things in that you've created. Tell us some more about CEPO 2 and 3.
So version 1 basically just caters for the basic aid and energy needs, which is charging your mobile devices, having a light source. Version 2 takes it a step further because during the process of developing version 1, it was during the research and development phase when actually discovered that the sub-Saharan regions are facing another endemic, which is malaria. And things like mosquitoes spread about 6 other deadly diseases apart from malaria. And malaria alone claim about 400,000 lives yearly in Africa alone.
Let's just pause there. In Africa, in the sub-Saharan
region,
malaria claims 400,000 lives every year.
Every year. Okay. And about 1 million globally.
1 million globally. So obviously Africa is a big part of that.
Yes.
All right. And your second version has a solution for that.
Yes.
Which was also spurred because of the research that you were doing in the local area.
True.
What happened? Because people now suddenly had, instead of paraffin lamps and candles, they could use this device to power light.
Yes, yes.
And then?
So we discovered that by providing them with a safe alternative, which is our devices, them having that bright light bulb in a place whereby the surroundings quite dark, it attracted a lot of insects and bugs towards them, which created another health issue. So we decided, no, we can't just provide them one solution while simultaneously creating another problem for them. Let's now develop a device which caters for both energy needs and also the health aspect as well.
And so you have, and I think you said, I hope I get you right, 3,000 volt.
Yes, Zapper
inside there. So whilst the insect comes, and you can see, Janet and John, you can see that color there. That, you know, the ultraviolet color.
Yeah, it looks
right?
Very cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the insects are drawn to
that light.
To
yes.
that light, and they land and they go to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's done in a quick fashion, and it's done through this machine.
Yes, it's a much more sustainable approach because the current methods are more like aerosols, which are things like doom locally.
Yeah.
And in other African countries, they tend to use mosquito nets, which are not sustainable. After a few months, you need to throw them away and get new ones.
Okay.
Whereby if you have one of these devices, you can harness the power of the sun and just recharge it and have a continuous use.
So this device can also, besides plugging it into conventional electricity, it can also be charged by solar.
Yes, a solar panel.
Solar panel.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So there's something else that's quite unique about SEPO 2 and SEPO 3.
Yeah.
And that is what you've got inside you. Where did you get the parts?
Well, about 60 to 80% of the components used in our devices are actually refurbished and recycled materials. So we collect things which are supposed to be discarded and contribute to electronic waste. We take those, refurbish them, and use them to build these devices.
Okay, 60 to 80%.
Yes.
So you're repurposing material that would be thrown away, added to the dump, added to the threat of our ecosystem,
true.
And you're repurposing that in a functional way.
Yes.
All right. So SEPO 2 has the insect zapper.
Yeah.
What SEPO 3 got that SEPO 2 does not have?
Well, SEPO 3 takes it a step further. It has a 20.8 lithium-ion battery, which is also made from recycled lithium-ion cells from old laptop batteries. It has a 300-watt inverter, which you can now power, for example, your laptop, charge your laptop, power small 32-inch TV and other smaller devices.
Okay, goodness me. Okay, so a question, who did you make this for? Who was your ideal customer? When you're thinking about why you're making this, you remember Simon Sinek says, always start with why.
Yes.
Who did you have in mind? Who's your ideal customer?
Initially, when we started creating these devices, our custom segment was those living in former settlements. But along the way, we discovered that, no, why should we only stop it with those in former settlements? Version 3 can cater for those that are always on the go, for students in varsity facing power outages. I mean, having one of these devices, it will promote a much more, a better learning experience whereby they can have their laptops charged and their Wi-Fi is on during the power outages and they can continue their work during those outages. Also, for those small entrepreneurs, those small business owners, having our devices, for example, there's a nail technician who uses one of these devices, and on a single charge, she can do about 11 clients. So this can also contribute to
when they're facing power outages, they're able to
continue
and therefore they're not losing customers and time, etc.
Yeah, it's giving them an upper hand against the competitors.
Okay. So you have created these things, these SEPO 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
And I think you also have some other interesting things that you have worked on.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, or talk to us about the paint.
So currently in the pipeline, we have the paint. We call it the electrical conductive paint. So basically it turns any surface, be it wood, glass, plastic into an electrical conductor.
And what could you do with that?
Well, since we couldn't find a market for this, we decided to use it in our own inventions. And by we, I mean myself. So I created these sea water powered lamps, whereby you utilize the paint in the device, and all you need is seawater, be it salt water or water from the beach. You just pour it in the device, and it gives you light.
Okay. So listeners, it's also about understanding that every person, there's a statistic about this, that every person in their lifetime will face and see two major opportunities to generate value and therefore income as well. The problem is that not everybody will, when they see it, take it. So we want to commend you for taking it. But this is just the beginning of your journey. So, Vince, I want to move away for a moment from the devices and look at the jockey. Look at you.
Yeah.
So what have you learned in 2023 and nearly 3 months of 2024? You are the jockey. You are the driver of your business. What are some lessons that you've learned?
There are three lessons that I can actually say stood out for me. Firstly, I would say the main lesson that I've learned is that we have no control of what happens to us, but we have 100% control of how we react to the situations. And that's actually a lesson taught by Steve Reed himself. Secondly, I would say your net worth is determined by your network. So surrounding yourself.
Worth is determined by your network.
Yes.
Explain that.
So surrounding yourself by people who can inspire you to become a better person can enrich you in many ways. It doesn't have to be financially. Like myself, I may not be financially rich, but the knowledge that Steve Reed has transferred to me has enriched me knowledge-wise.
Thank you, Vince. I really appreciate that. But listeners, the focus should be and is on Vince and not on myself. What's the third lesson that you've learned?
The third lesson, I would say, this is more of a personal one, but I would say it's easier to pity yourself and blame everything around you than it is to actually take the initiative and take responsibility of your own life. So that's something I had to learn the hard way, because it's easy for us to expect to just be handed for things to just be handed over to us, everything be spoon-fed to us, whereby we can actually take, because, I mean, we're in control of our own lives.
Yeah.
So it's up to us to actually find out why we're on this planet. I mean, each and every one of us do not just exist here by a mere coincidence. There's a purpose why we're here. So it's up to us to actually find out what is it that brought us onto this earth, and what purpose do we have that we need to serve. And I think I might have found mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the joy in that, Vince, and listeners, is that when you find your purpose, doesn't mean that issues, adversity, struggles will stop.
No.
But what it does mean is that you have a drive inside of you and a way to navigate through that which you perhaps never had before. Vince, won't you finish off today by encouraging those who are maybe thinking about starting their own business, maybe someone's listening to your story for the first time and they can identify with the limitations that you had at the beginning, people not believing in you, criticizing you, etc. What would you say to listeners who are thinking about starting their own venture?
I would say there is no other better time than now. If you don't start now, you never start. So start with what you have. I myself faced the issue of wanting to perfect everything before I started. And that can actually delay your process to a point whereby you actually give up in the idea phase and not actually venturing out into starting the business.
So powerful. Yeah. So powerful. Listeners, particularly those who are creative, you almost want to present to your value offering when it is perfect.
Yes,
and the reality is that even Microsoft does not present its next version of its products at 100%.
True.
Well, they wait until they're 90-something percent, and then they get feedback from us customers, etc. But that means it gets quickly to the market. Well done on that. That's amazing.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm going to ask John and Janet, who's here with us, if they'd like to ask anything of Vince, or we have come to the end of our session. But, John?
No, we've got a few more minutes, because these SEPA machines just look fantastic. Are they going to be available on the market? How are we going to take this innovation forward?
Well, they are ready and available, but legally we cannot distribute them.
Okay.
We need certain certification, because we have tested on our end. We're 100% sure that these work and these are safe, but we need certain certification, like the SABS approval and the NRCS certificate, just so that when you purchase these, you purchase them with a peace of mind that, okay, this device has been tested and approved and that it is safe. Because we wouldn't want to take away a candlestick and a paraffin lamp and provide a bomb in exchange for that. So we need something that has been tested and approved by the government. And
Lovely. And so, John, that's a great question that you ask, and others are asking that as well. And so I think the next step in Vince's journey would be to sign up complete all the legal work, that there, and also maybe to raise to another level your manufacturing capacity, because these take about a day to make, but you would want to increase that as the demand rises as well. Okay. But I don't know if Janet and John would agree. They actually look... They, you know, bearing in mind that you're saying 60 to 80% of this is recycled, refurbished, etc., they look extremely professional.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, they look like products on shelf.
Yeah. And that's where they should be. But more important than the products going to be on the shelf is the conviction that you are adding value and you're walking in your purpose. Well done, Vince Mushebe of CHEPO, or Mushebe Enterprises, but with CHEPO 1, 2, and 3. And we look forward to hearing more of your journey and what you're going to be bringing of value to others.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys. Just want to share with you an SMS that's come in on the studio WhatsApp line. What an inspiration. Never give up on your dreams, because there are always people who will believe in you. Well done. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Fantastic.
Steve... Vincent, thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure. And, Vincent, I look forward to hearing a lot more about you. And, Vincent, my understanding is that you will be back in due course.
Absolutely. I will keep you posted, listeners, about Vincent's journey. We're going to be in the same venue in about 2 weeks' time at a conference. And I hope to pass on good news to you at a later stage in April and May. Thank you so much.